Hi, my name is Bob Marzano. I'm the CEO of Marzano Research Laboratory here in Denver, Colorado. And this is the third segment in a series of seven video segments that describe and discuss the findings from the What Works in Schools Oklahoma study that was conducted across two academic years, the 2009-2010 academic year and the 2010-2011 academic year. And from that study, five recommendations fell out that seemed to be sufficiently supported by those findings. This is recommendation two. All teachers should set personal goals regarding instructional strategies. If you've listened to the first segment or read the reports, which we highly recommend, there's phase one report, phase two report, phase three report. What you'll find is that focusing on instruction, at the individual teacher level, it helps the school get better. It really does. That the better students become at using effective pedagogical strategies, the more students achieve, and that's supported by the research for the last two, 3 decades, again, depending on how you might want to count. Now, to that end, in the phase three report, and that's the one that has all of the tools that I mentioned in this video series, this recommendation has a fairly detailed appendix of specific areas that a teacher might select to work on. Now, notice what this recommendation said. All teachers should set personal goals regarding instructional strategies. Now, let me explain that. That's different from saying the entire school should work on a certain instructional strategy. That's not necessarily bad to do that. However, if you do that but don't allow teachers to set their own personal goals, I think we're missing the boat a bit, or a lot, maybe. Here's the notion that this is a very complex profession. If you're a classroom teacher, it takes a long time to get good at this, a very long time to become expert at this. And the best you can do is each year get better at one or two things. Now, the model that we're using to allow teachers to self-evaluate themselves and kind of diagnose their strengths and weaknesses has 41 different areas in it. So Appendix E, actually, in Phase 3 report, has 41 teacher scales or rubrics for these 41 different areas. Now, I'm not going to go over those areas in depth. I want to give you the general feel for this recommendation here. But there are very specific areas to work on. For example, providing clear learning goals is one area. Tracking student progress in another. Establishing classroom rules and procedures, addressing the physical layout of the classroom, helping students elaborate on information, helping students reviewing content with students, using academic games, providing resource and guidance to students. So, you can see those are fairly detailed areas. The notion here is that teachers in a school would use these scales to rate themselves on all 41 of these areas. With the realization, this can and probably should in the beginning be done anonymously. In other words, I'm the only one who sees my ratings. Based on my self-analysis, I pick certain things that I think, gee, this is a good year for me to work on this strategy, and this strategy. Now, if you've done that, you've created a culture where then the school can say, as a school, let's work on a few things in common, or maybe one thing in common. Now, there are various ways of identifying that one thing. Administrator and teacher, they have a discussion as to, what do you think the school should work on. It's very powerful if teachers are secure enough to let administrators see the self-rating of each individual teacher, and you just go and look through it. And what you'll find is, there's a lot of teachers here who say that engagement's a big issue for them, specifically couples through certain strategies for engagement or questioning or whatever it is. You say, well, good, that's the one we're going to work on as a team. That even if you don't have that in your personal goals, let's make sure as a group we work on that. Because now you create a synergy around every teacher in the building coming together and talking about effective pedagogy relative to a very, very specific area. And again, if there's a school-wide emphasis, certainly there are going to be teachers, you know, who they're strong in that area, and that's great. Those teachers can now serve as resources for teachers, let's say like myself, who selected that as an area because it's a weakness for me. So teachers select their own areas of instruction to work on. They score themselves in scales. They use those to identify strengths and weaknesses. Maybe aggregate that data, you know, and then as a school, have a focus or two or three that you say, looks like a lot of us are doing this. And that creates a real nice synergy in terms of staff meetings, you know, a very common topic to work on. Let me give you a sense of these scales. Remember, all of this is in the Phase 3 report available on the Oklahoma State Department of Education website. They're all, you know, you can do whatever you want with them. No permission required to duplicate this and give it out to whomever you want. Let me just take one of the scales here and show you, or the rubrics, and give you a sense of it. Now again, you're not going to understand the whole framework. You'd have to look at the scales to get that. Just give you a sense of, you know, what we're asking teachers to do in terms of rating themselves. Here's an area, tracking student progress. So there's a question, you know, that teachers ask themselves, what do I typically do to track student progress? And description of that is the teacher facilitates tracking of student progress on one or more learning goals using a formative approach to assessment. You know, pretty common one here, formative assessment. Now you'll find teacher evidence that the teacher can look at to see, well, am I doing these things? And also student evidence too. Let me read you some of the teacher evidence. You don't have to. These are not all inclusive, and it doesn't mean you have to do, you know, all of these to say you're doing a good job in this area. But one example: teacher helps students track their individual progress on a learning goal, or a teacher assigns scores using a scale or a rubric that depicts students' status relative to the learning goal. Teacher uses formal and informal means to assign scores to students. Teacher charts the progress of the entire class on learning goals. So those are some. Look for, some people call them, you know, teacher evidence that a teacher might look at and say, how am I doing on this? It's also student evidence too. Let me read you some examples of the student evidence for this particular area. What do I typically do to track student progress? Student evidence. When asked, students can describe their status relative to the learning goal using the scale or rubric. Also, students systematically update their status on the learning goal. So that should, with the rubrics, we try to get specific enough the teachers can say, I think I'm doing a really good job in that, or not such a good job. Now, relative to how well am I doing, there's also a scale or a rubric for that. Includes five values. Not using, you can use zero, if you will. Beginning, that's a one. Developing, that's a two. Applying, that's a three. And then four, innovating. Just let me give you a sense of that particular scale. Starting with the not using. Not using basically says, here's the scale I'm reading, I should use the strategy, but I don't. And in this case, remember, it's having students track their progress. I should use the strategy, but I don't. Now, there's kind of two reasons a teacher might say zero on that or not using. One is the teacher says, you know, I know how to do that, but I just don't, doesn't work in my class, I don't do it. And actually, that's fine. It's not using, but it's a teacher decision. It's not that they don't know how to do it, it's they decide not to use it. However, there's another reason a person might give themselves a not using, and that is, I say, okay, tracking student progress, what's that? That indicates that there's a whole area here I don't even know about, you know, which might indicate I should look into this. So not using, that's the lowest score you can give yourself. Beginning, or a one, I use the strategy incorrectly or with missing parts. And actually that's a part of the developmental process in terms of getting good at a particular strategy. When it's brand new, it's going to be clunky, to use a non-technical term. There'll be pieces missing, there'll be errors that are made, and that's just fine. It's part of the developmental process. Remember, you know, the idea is for teachers to select something to work on and get better. So if I score myself a zero, you know, here on this and say, I don't even know tracking strategies, they exist, and now I give it a try, well, you know, when I've moved up to I use the strategy incorrectly with missing parts, I've made progress, and there's nothing wrong with that. Let's go to the next level, developing. Now, in general, for all the scales, developing means the teacher uses the strategy, but does so in somewhat of a mechanistic way. They're still thinking about the strategy. You know, they're not fluent in it yet. They're more concerned about, am I doing it right? Although they're not making mistakes. In this particular case, developing is, I facilitate tracking of student progress using a formative approach to assessment, but do so in somewhat of a mechanistic way. Now there you've got it, you got the strategy, but still, you have to think about it when you're doing it. Now let's go up to the next level, applying. That's a three, and we say that should be the minimum target to get to a three within a year, hopefully. Because here's what happens at a three level. The teacher not only uses the strategy, but then sees whether it had the desired effect on student achievement. So they monitor, did it work or not? Let me read you the level three value for this particular element. What do I typically do to track student progress? Here's what it says. I facilitate tracking of student progress using a formative approach to assessment and monitor the extent to which students understand their level of performance. So that's when that's when the strategy really has an impact on students. You monitor to see whether students are tracking their progress, and then you look and helping them do that. But you also want to make sure they understand, hey, I'm here and I need to get here by the end of this unit, and here's what I need to do to get to that place. Now the highest level in the scale is innovating. That's a four. I adapt and create new strategies for unique students, for unique student needs and situations. Stated differently, at that level, the teacher is so fluent at the strategy that he or she could create their own strategy, or probably does, for different situations and different types of students. And here's what you're going to find if you're honest about going through this as a teacher. You'll find across the 41 areas, you'll have some fours, that you're innovating. You've done this for years. You're so good you could write could or should write your own book on it. You might even find you have some zeros. There are areas you say, I don't even know about that. Or there are areas you say, I know about it, but I've actually never tried it out. And you'll probably find yourself, scores on all across the board. Some strategies for which you're beginning, you do it, but pretty clunky, or you do it, but it's somewhat mechanistic. And that's actually very common in our research, that teachers will use a lot of strategies, but they still kind of at that, painting by the numbers level. And you find a good number of areas on which you're applying. And once you take the entire survey, 41 rubrics, it doesn't take that long to go through, and then look at your profile and then select one or two things to work on in a given year. Now for us, this recommendation to all teachers should set personal goals regarding instructional strategies. That should go on every single year. In other words, in this profession, and I think the research supports this, if you really want to become an expert, then every year you're working on something, and you're always focusing on areas that you're weakest. Now, you're going to get better across the board every year, but you'll still have areas where, you're still not where you want to be or should be. So, recommendation number two, all students should set personal goals regarding instructional strategies. Certainly if you're a school that's in the needs improvement category and want to get out of it, this is an area that probably is going to yield fruitful results. And even if you're a school doing a great job, probably can't go wrong, who's not in the needs improvement status. Not that the schools who are in the needs improvement status aren't doing a good job either. They too might be doing a good job, just facing some pretty tough circumstances. But even if your category of classification within the state doesn't say we better work on something, this is still a great area to work on. So this was the third segment of a 7-segment series, and this was on recommendation number two. All teachers should set personal goals regarding instructional strategies.